Well, hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very short excerpt of It's Not About You. We haven't recorded in a long time, as a lot of you can see. But what we're doing here now is we're doing an update on our hiatus and when we're coming back and stuff like that. So that is something that we're going to talk about. We're not going to do our usual 2-hour long episode. By the way, before we even start, let's reintroduce ourselves for those of you who forgot all about us. My name is Jamal Harrington, one of the hosts of this show, and with me is my co-host Marianne Riley, another comedian as well. Say hello, Miss Marianne.
Hello. Kind of coast to coast. We've got New York in the house and we've got Seattle in the house.
Oh, yes. A lot of changes was made during the hiatus. For those of you who listened to the last episode, you pretty much know what's going on already. But we decided to take this. First of all, this was actually a great hiatus. All I kept thinking about was, like, we should do this a few times, a couple times a year. Just, like, get some, take some time off.
Yeah, and re-energize, regroup, re-energize, and, like, really kind of refocus on what we're doing. It's been I don't know about you, but, man, the last few weeks have been insanely, insanely crazy, busy, hectic, and as par for the course for the last couple of years, a roller coaster, a lot of ups and downs, but.
Yeah, same here. A lot of ups, very few downs, but nonetheless, I think the important thing is that we are moving forward and we're aiming high and I'd like to think that, we're doing better than we were a month ago.
I think so. So let me first of all kind of address that issue. So as you guys can tell, Cousin Todd is not here with us right now. And first and foremost, Cousin Todd is my cousin. That's where he got the name from, is that we are first cousins. His mom and my mom were sisters. We grew up like siblings. So yes, I had a lot of feels, a lot of emotions about this, but at the end of the day, he's still my cousin, he's still my family, and I still love him. And we are, as a family unit, we are fine. And we communicate, we've had our conversations. He was actually over for the last family, last weekend, which was a family get together for birthdays, and he'll be here next weekend for more, Romeo's 55th birthday and my granddaughter's first birthday. So yeah, he will be here. He will, that's not going to change. It's just that we all kind of agreed that it was just not, it didn't continue to be beneficial for us. And we would rather not be on the podcast together if it means that it would have a negative effect on us as family. And that was something that it was a hard decision to make. It wasn't something that was a knee-jerk reaction. It was not something that was spur of the moment. It was, we both went into our separate corners, so to speak, and really thought about the conversations that we'd had. And we went, we're going to have to agree to disagree on some things. And this was something that was very polarizing for both of us, that so much so that, we kind of started rehashing it again. And I stopped last weekend and said, we're not going to agree on this. And this is something that, I love you, but you're not going to be able to see my perspective on this. And I get that. That's okay. And, the one thing that made me mad about it, also something that made me proud of him too, is that he was taking a stance for people that he felt were underrepresented, or maybe people who were misunderstood. And I get that, and I applaud that very much. So I really do. I am very thankful that he does look at things in a way that a lot of people don't look at. And I understand that, because he takes it very personal, because he understands what it's like to stand out and be different from other people and not fit in. However, how it came across in something that you, Jamal, and I were, you know, like Todd does things, cousin Todd does it as, it's for him, it's fun. And it's something that he enjoys doing. But Jamal and I, both as professional comedians, have an image and a brand to protect. And that's something that we had to look at. And we thought that for our brands, having that kind of a volatile communication with each other on our podcast, there was just an absolute disrespect. And I will own that there's probably some that I got heated and I probably said something that could be construed. I'm not trying to downplay that. Like, if I said something, let me own this. If I said something that was degrading or putting him down in any way, then I absolutely apologize. I own that. And I apologize to not just you, Jamal, but I also apologize to our audience for anything that if I have said something in the heat of my passion of what I was saying. But I just think that going forward, the best step that we could take is to go with you and I, and possibly, you know, have guest hosts in the future. Or I'll let you kind of, I'll wrap up. That's kind of what I had to say on that. And I'll let you.
Well, I do want to touch upon this a little bit, because we spent, I mean, the first week, 2 weeks, all I thought about was this and where's the podcast going. And I hope we continue to podcast this at whatever. But I will say this, because I want to say this to any future any future guest that we have on this show. And I mean this with every fiber of my being. Number one, if we have you as a future guest on this show, anyone who's listening right now, number one, I could give a fuck what you believe in. I really could. Now, not for nothing, we will allow you to state your case, state whatever you believe in. Our job is not, we're not here to bash what you believe. We're just not. That's not who we are. If you're, and you know what, I'll even go as far as, you know, I'll even take it political. If you're a Trump supporter, do we care? Absolutely not. I don't care if you're a Trump supporter. You could sit on this show for an hour and a half to 2 hours and praise him all you want. Don't get me wrong, we'll have some questions. You know, we will give you, whether it's facts, our opinions. We're not here to bash anybody who comes on the show. That's not what we're about. Because number one, if we did that, we don't really have much of a show. We just don't. You know what I'm saying? So number one, we're not here to sit here and take anything that you believe in and just shit on it. We will not do that. And because I take pride in having different types of guests on the show. The one thing that I love about this podcast is, not for nothing, me and Marianne and even cousin Todd, we didn't agree on a lot of things. But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't go after Marianne because of something, a difference in beliefs that we have. I wouldn't do that. Marianne is a grown-ass woman. She can believe in whatever she wants. It doesn't affect our friendship. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I think anything that me and Marianne disagreed on has never interfered with the way I felt about her. So she's allowed, as a grown woman, and just like anybody else who is listening to this show, or future guests on the show, you're allowed to believe in whatever you want. That's variety is the spice of life. But I do not want anyone.
Actually, and I'll take it one step further on that, Jamal. We encourage you, if you have opinions or beliefs that are different than us, we encourage you to try and change our mind. The one thing that I love about Jamal is, and the one thing that we will always be able to get along on, is that we're both very open-minded. And I think that even if in our woke culture, that some of that wokeness is also closed-minded, right? And so as kind of like, that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's true. I've seen that where, you know, and there is room for differences of opinions. And please, like, I would love for people to change my mind on something, because I value learning. That to me is part of the greatest thing about being an adult. And one of the best things about being a comedian is all the different cultures that we get exposed to, and not just, you know, like ethnic backgrounds, but we do have things like the transgenders. We do have the LGBTQ, that we have people that we get to interact with that we would never be able to interact with in any other form. And that's what is so beautiful about this. And we encourage that on our show, to have the people with those different opinions. Please come talk to us, because I hope to God I never get so old that, or so set in my ways, that I refuse to be able to change my mind when I'm presented with evidence that proves me wrong. And I have no problem with saying, you're right, I was wrong.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
And for those of you who have listened to the show in the past, I mean, I know you know whether my stance on certain things or Marianne's stance on certain things, that doesn't mean you can't come onto the show and state your case. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't, we're not gonna sit here and just be like, oh, you believe in that? Well, we're gonna sit here and poke holes in your theories for half an hour. We're not gonna do that. You know,
right.
That's just not what we're about. So we don't, and there's been times where I've asked people, and we've had some people decline on coming to our show because they think, well, I've heard your show, the earlier shows, when, like during the pandemic, when we quote unquote got political. Yeah, you guys are, you know, you don't fit my, you know, political stance. And it's not even about that. It's really not. You know what I'm saying? I've had Republicans turn down coming onto the show because they think we're going to sit there and bash them. And I'm like, well, listen to the shows in the past. We've had people who voted Republican. We don't care. It's not even about that.
And now, yeah, let's be fair. I have voted. In the past, I voted Republican. Absolutely. To me, I don't care about Democrat or Republican. I care about you as a person. What your stance is, and does it line up with what I want? I mean, so, you know, I've been very open about, I am neither Republican nor Democrat. I'm more libertarian, like less government. Leave me the fuck alone. I'm like you said, I'm a grown ass woman. I know how to right and wrong, and just leave me alone. Stop dipping your fingers into all my money. Stop trying to take all my money in taxes, which just pisses me off. And let's do the right thing, you know?
Exactly. You know, but aside from that, yeah. And kind of touching back on the whole thing about what happened. The 2 weeks after we went off the air, I got phone calls, emails. When are we coming back? What's happening? You don't need us to tell you what happened. If you've listened to the last episode, you don't need us to. You already know. Just listening to the last episode, and if you're smart, which most of you listeners are, you could already draw the conclusion of what happened. I got so tired of filling in questions. And what happened, this, that, whatever. If you heard it, you already know. We're not gonna sit here and bash people.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, because if you are any adult that has been in business automatically knows, oh, this is probably what happened. This is the decision that all three of us had made. Well, you and I and whatever had made. They're gonna move on based on the last episode. And feel free to listen to it. But also, I want to say one more. I want to say one more thing. If you listen to the last episode, based on that, and it was, gosh, maybe a couple months ago or so, I asked, including my mother, 9 women, based on what you said about, based on your thoughts and your, I asked 9 women, and Marianne, not any one of these women faltered. I thought at least one of them would. They were all on your side. All of them. Yeah. And I even asked my mom, and I was like, are you sure? My mom said, yep, 100%. Marianne is right about everything that she said. So, but with that being said, it's Marianne is a, and again, I don't find you. First of all, I re-listened to that episode twice, which was very hard for me, but that's how bored I was.
Yeah.
Now, one, I did not find anything that you said transphobic.
And that was something that, you know, and I wanted to be very clear about that, is that I am absolutely, I have no problem whatsoever with trans people. I don't, you know, they don't, and if, for lack of anything better to say, they don't impact me at all. There's not a negative or a positive impact. They're people. That's it. You know, I don't care. I don't care what you do with whatever you do. I feel bad for them because of the fact that they don't feel comfortable in the bodies that they were born into. But very much like that, this was something that I tried to explain to Cousin Todd and other people as well. For somebody who has been overweight my entire life, I have never, ever been thin in my entire existence. Okay, this is not something I'm making. And Todd has been. Todd grew up skinny. Okay, so he doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand what it's like to be overweight your entire life. I was the fat one, right? I was always the fat one. And to never feel when I talk about it in my stand-up about how I literally, it's not even a joke, I literally flunked. I flunked PE. In high school, for one reason only. I refused to change my clothes to wear into shorts and stuff in front of all these girls because I knew that these bitches were looking at me. And I came from a very small town. So all these bitches are looking at me just waiting to see if I had stretch marks or fucking fat rolls, something to that they could crucify me for. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was already, you know, like it's hard enough being a teenager already, but to have that, to know that everybody's slyly looking at you waiting because you are different. I had boobs in third grade. Okay. So I had big boobs, big butt and a gut my whole life. Fuck you. I'm not comfortable with my body. Okay. And for me to walk into the spa knowing that I was gonna walk around naked. The only thing that I would have to cover was a hair net that would go over my hair, and that was it. And to be completely and totally, absolutely the most vulnerable I've ever been in my entire life, because I'm in a room full of people, I don't know what these women look like, and I'm in a room full of people who, and my worst fear, these are the PLU hard bodies, the college girls that are fucking in there, and they make fun of my fat, saggy, flappy, dappy old mom body, you know? And it was very, very, and it's not like men, it's not the same as getting naked in front of a strange man, because a strange man will fuck you. He don't care. He's still going to get his dick wet. And he might go, ooh, that's ugly, but he's still going to flip you over and not look in your eyes or something. He's still going to fuck you.
there's a job that needs to be done. So yeah, he still will.
Right? He's still gonna get his. He doesn't care. So it's, but women are insanely judgmental of each other. Women are way more judgmental of each other than anybody else. And so for me to face that fear, to go in there and to be my most vulnerable. And from that, over the years and years of going to the spa, what I have been able to do, what I've gained from that, is an insane amount of confidence. When I joke about the fact that, you know, I would go be naked in the parking lot, I'm not kidding. You know what? Even as old and flappy dappy as I am now, I would, and it, I would literally go into the street butt ass naked. Why? Because I have a confidence now that I've never had before I went to the spa. And it was something that being able to go to the spa, and for a woman will understand this, there it's almost like an unspoken judgment-free zone. We do not care what you look like. We're not judging you. You are vulnerable just like us. We are all equal here. No matter what your flaws are, somebody else has flaws too. You may think with her clothes on, she doesn't have any flaws, and then she takes off her clothes, and we all have flaws. And we are aware that we have body flaws that other people can see. And we all, but you know what? We have a sense of uniformity here that we all are equals. And nobody's judging us. This is the epitome of a safe space for us, okay? And I don't know if any other way of putting it, but that this has been a place that when there's been times when I have been, the world has beat me up. I've gone through some serious, you know, I know that I talk about, you know, the losses that I've gone through. I've lost my sister. I lost my mom. I've lost a lot of people. And like one of the things is that I cherish memory as I have is this couple of weeks before my sister died, I was able to take her to the spa. And we had that time together, just the two of us, even though there was all these other people around us. So why am I so passionate about this is that besides how I feel about this place, to say that somebody who they haven't had the bottom surgery can come in, that's so be it. So be it. We can't change that. So be it. But here's what we are going to do. None of us are, there's going to be more of us that will not visit the spa than people that will replace us that are there to support that fully transitioned transgender. And because one person, we will all lose that safe space because they will not have enough revenue to keep the doors open. And so now a space that women can go to, that it's like the neutral zone. This is the neutral zone. There's no fighting. There's no cattiness. There's no calling each other out for jelly rolls, fat rolls, fucking, you know, stretch marks, nothing. We don't do that here. This is our safe space. Now, because one person wants in there, they're going to take that neutral zone, that safe space, away from all of us, because they don't want to wait till they have the bottom surgery. Not that because they're transgender, it's because they don't want to wait until they've had the bottom surgery. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. That's what I'm arguing about. That's what I'm fighting about. And I can't make it any plainer than that. Like I said, when they have the bottom surgery, come on in. Come on in. But nobody... Yeah. And then let's add some legal complications to it. Jamal, what is it called if you were to expose yourself to a minor?
Well, that's...
Is that illegal?
That's very much illegal.
Okay. So what if... Now, this is... Here's the other complexity. What about the women who have girls that feel have body confidence enough to come to the spa, which is such a critical time for them, especially when they're preteens or teens, and they have moms that bring them to this safe space, and now all of a sudden they see a penis.
Yeah.
Where's the legal complexities on this?
Honestly, I'm not even sure if there is any, you know, but at the same time, my defense on it is you know, you have the expectations of not seeing a penis at a place like that. That's kind of like where my beliefs lie in. You know, if I was to show up there with tits and a dick, you know, something is wrong there. You know, I kind of feel like if I was to do that, I would be out of place. And anybody else who was to be in what I just described would be out of place too. And I don't think that that's fair, because again, sometimes there are women who go there with their kids to show like, hey, this is what womanhood is all about.
Right. You know? And it is a I'm struggling for the right word here. It's, you know, you go from being a child into being a woman, and this is a testament to that journey that you're on, from being a child to a woman, to come to the spa. You're no longer like, maybe these are girls that have entered into womanhood. They've started having their periods and stuff, and this is a ritual that their mothers are taking them on to show them that there is safe spaces for women to go to be naked and be comfortable in their own skin, to be absolutely non-judgmental. Women, we don't have to judge each other, but we do. When you're out there wearing whatever clothes you're wearing, you know, you've got too much makeup, you don't have enough makeup, you've got, you know, you've got too many fat rolls, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too short, you're everything wrong and nothing right. Right. But in the spa, it's not like that. Nobody, I have been going there for over 20 years. Nobody talks about each other like that. We don't. I've seen so many different kinds of women in there, and in every size, shape, ethnicity, like, and it's a beautiful place to be for women, because you have that confidence. And I know that I talk to a lot of women who are like, oh my God, I could never go in there. I'd be too embarrassed. I'm too horrified. Mm-hmm. And yet they're the ones who should go there, because they would be able to see how absolutely freeing it is. Nobody gives two flying shits. Nobody's looking at you. They don't care, you know, because we are so busy just relaxing and enjoying this absolute peace and quiet. There's no kids in here. There's no men in here. It's just us relaxing in our own thoughts. Maybe we come with a girlfriend and we sit there and we're talking, but maybe we go by ourselves and we're just sitting there relaxing and just enjoying the absolute solitude of being alone, even in a room full of people, because it's quiet and you have that, just that ambiance of relaxation everywhere about you. And so it's something that it makes me very, very sad to think that this could all go away because one person demands to go in there. One person is demanding to go in there, and because they feel like that they're taking a stance, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear, sweetheart. I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. You're not a woman yet. You're not fully a woman. You may feel like you're a woman, but you know it and I know it, and accept that. You need to accept that just because you identify as a woman doesn't make you a woman when you still have a penis, okay? And I am not the only woman who feels that way. And I'm telling you that there's going to be a lot of women who will not accept you even when you have that transition, but I'm not one of them. When you make that transition, I don't care. You are welcome here. I'm not looking at you. I don't know. Honestly, I've never seen a naked transgender. So I don't know if a man who's been fully transitioned to a woman actually looks like a full woman when she's naked. I don't know. I don't care. I don't give a shit. But what I do know is that if you have a penis when you walk in here naked, you are not going to be accepted as a woman. And you are going to make all the other women who are that look like
women
that have vaginas and breasts, they're going to stand up and leave. Because, and then you're going to rob them, and you're going to steal something from us that we've worked very hard to be able to find, you know, that the business owners have worked very, very hard to come up with this safe space, and one person is going to take it away from everybody. And we've changed so much as a country, as a culture, that it used to be, you know, that the majority rules. Well, that's not the case anymore. We're now the minority rules, the people who scream the loudest rules. And that's the problem. I understand that there's, you know, there's a push and pull, give and take on this. Yes. Yes. I understand when we say a minority doesn't, you know, we can't, just because the majority rules doesn't mean that we have to not hear the voice of the minority. And we're talking about situations like, I don't know that we can pick and choose. I don't know that we can pick and choose that minority versus the majority, but there's some things that we have to. There are some things that we have to, as society, as a culture, have to say, you know what? That sucks. But the majority stands. The majority. That's the same thing if you go to court and you have the jury of your peers, the majority rules on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of our culture. This is part of being American. This is part of being an adult. You don't always get what you want. But because you want something that's going to cost thousands of other people what they already have, is that okay? And I'm not talking about making things equal. I'm not saying making it equal, because there's a difference. There's a difference between minorities, such as our Latino population, our Black population, that when they say that they want what the majority already has, there's a difference. Because what you guys are asking for and fighting for doesn't take away from the people who already have it, the people in power that already have it. There's a difference, okay? It's not taking anything away. It's asking to be equal, okay? There's a difference. And I wish people would understand that. I wish that people would understand that there is a difference, that if you're not taking from somebody else, well, how are they taking from somebody else, Marianne, if they just want to go in there and they just want to be treated like a woman? Okay, well, let's ask this next question. I'm going to answer that with another question. How many women do you think in there have been raped? Besides me. Because I guarantee you that, what if 1 in 3 women have been raped? And some, do you really think that it's acceptable if they go in there and asking for a safe space, that all of a sudden they see a penis? Oh, wait, but that's okay, because this penis identifies as a woman. No, that's really? Okay. Then let me put this on there. No, I'm not going to say that I know a bunch of transgenders. I know a few, and I've had conversations with them. And here's one of the conversations that I did not realize. It's kind of surprised me. And is that just because a man does not feel comfortable in his body and identifies and feels that they're a woman does not mean that they are attracted to men. Okay, that was something that actually surprised me. I talked to a transgender and it surprised me that she used to be a he and became a she, but still attracted to women. Okay, and still wants to be with women. I did not know that. And so for me, then I ask this question again. If you have a penis, just because you don't identify as a woman or identify as a man doesn't mean the penis doesn't work, right? I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the penis still works. I'm pretty sure, because the transgenders that I've spoke to have children with their ex-wives. Okay, so I'm pretty sure the penis still works. What happens now? You're talking about somebody who's attracted to women, who has a lower half that's still a penis. They haven't gone through the full transgender surgery. Are you telling me that if they get aroused, said penis isn't going to react like a said penis if they see a bunch of beautiful naked women? I don't know. I don't have a penis. I don't know how they act. I don't know. Maybe you guys can be around a bunch of naked women walking around and not get aroused or not have your penis respond.
I know this much. Naked woman or not, this bad boy gets aroused. It works. You know what I'm saying? 41 years old, I see a naked woman or an attractive woman even. Doesn't even have to be naked. You know, you could just have slimming clothes. This bad boy down here, by my hips, by my leg, by that area, it fucking works. So
gotta perks up a little, you know, like, hey, hello.
You know, it wakes up from its slumber and it's like, good morning, beautiful. So
right.
You know, but that's just me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about how it works otherwise, you know, in a trans world. I don't know.
And you know, I don't know either.
I'm afraid to ask a transvestite, hey, let me ask you this. Does it salute? Does it say hello?
We should. Let's have, you know, if we can find a transgender who wants to come on, who would like to talk about this from their perspective, I would love to talk to them. You know, we won't hold anything back. I mean, I don't know if some of you guys know, Brock Toronto, I had him on my, or when I was doing the radio show, I had him on the radio show. I asked him how he had sex. How do you fuck? Because he's a midget. He's a little person. He doesn't call himself a little person. Don't get mad at me because I called him a midget. He calls himself a midget. He said, don't call me a little person. I hate little people. I'm a midget. Okay. How do they fuck? You know, because if they're with full size women, how are they having sex? You know? And so, I asked him all kinds of different kinds of questions, and people were like, the producer was like, oh my God, I can't believe you asked him those questions. I said, why not? We want to know these things, and other people do too. Why not? If you are comfortable talking about it, then please come talk to us and we'll ask you questions like that.
Yeah, if we have Brock Toronto on this show, oh my God, you think that's the, thank God we don't have like FCC regulations, because we would get fired the first 2 minutes of the show, number one.
Yep.
Like it would just be like, you know,
careful, because I was FCC regulated at the time. So I had to ask him, okay, a lot of people want to know this, because I know that Brock is very open about, because he's a comedian and he's a friend of ours and he's somebody who felt comfortable talking to me. And I asked him, I said, Brock, a lot of people want to know, when you have sex, how do you physically, like, how does everything fit together when you're 3 feet tall and you're with a woman who's 5'5", 5'6", how do you have sex?
My first question would be, how do you even attract a woman? Let's start from there, and then let's just baby step our way towards the sexual part.
I had those questions for him, too.
You know, not to say he's not a handsome guy. He is, but it's just like, how do you do it, bro? Give me some of your...
Women have fetishes. Oh, and you know what is so funny is that I was listening to a local radio station here, and they were talking about, they had gone to midget wrestling the night before. The girls had gone to midget wrestling, and she was trying to hook up one of her friends with one of the midget wrestlers because she wanted to live vicariously. She's like, I'm married, but my girlfriend's not. And I was trying to live vicariously through her. And the midget wrestler was hot. And I was like, okay. Well, then I went and saw the midget wrestlers. That was on Wednesday night, and I went to go see him on Friday night. And I was like, point taken. I could see how he's called King Midget, and he is buff as fuck. And he was up on the top of the rails. And I don't care who you are, what the things that he was doing physically were astonishing. He was such a showman. It was amazing to watch. And I was like, I could see how, you know, but for me, I'm gigantic. I mean, I'm fucking 5'10", you know. For me, it's hard enough to find somebody who's taller than me to begin with, you know. And I've always been like kind of reluctant about my height because people are always, you know, if they go to see me start talking to me and then I stand up and they're like, holy shit. And I keep standing up and they're like, damn. And they'd walk away. So for me, I guess for me, I would never have been somebody who would have had that fetish with a midget only because I'm so self-conscious of my own height, not because of anything else. But I can see where there's definitely where they were like, yeah, that's going to be on my bucket list. I'm going to tear that little ass up, you know, and see what he can do. Oh, and I was like, okay.
Okay, so... yeah, Brock could definitely.
Definitely gonna be on our show.
Now I'm curious. I'm gonna contact this guy, see about getting him on. See, guys, we're always thinking, always, you know, because this is what you want. This is what you want. Even right now, if you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, "Wow, how do?" And I'm saying midget. I think that's their N word, but
Because Brock doesn't like to be called a little person, only because they have like a society and a group, and he went to go join the little people, and he said, we'll have to ask him when we have him on, because it was a whole big thing. He has a whole big thing about it. Yeah, and then we'll have to talk about the time. I do want to have him on, because I got to find the video of after our show, we took one of we took my co-host at the time, Berto, home, and Berto lives on a ranch, and he had turkeys. And one of the turkeys posted up and tried, like, was going to fight Brock. It was hilarious, yeah.
God.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll wait till Brock comes on so we can go into that. But, you know, and I do. And I sincerely, if we have any of our listeners out there who want to come talk to us, we are more than willing to share the mics with you guys and have open dialogues. There's probably pretty much, I don't think there's anything that we have that we would say is taboo or off limits with us.
I don't think we've ever talked about anything that was, now, I'm more, you know, freeing than most people when it comes to the things that I've talked about in the past that are taboo. Because I'm not worried about FCC. Now, I have had letters, but I could give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've treated this podcast, and it's funny because I've seen people like on Facebook, which tricked me out, talking about things that we can and cannot say as far as words. I don't know if you've seen this, but I have. Number one, no one's going to tell me what I can say and what I can't say.
You know.
Unless you're paying me. But for the most part, I saw the other day somebody posted up something about, and I see a lot of these, we can't say retard anymore because it offends
people. I know that. However, I think that we need to look at the dictionary, and just like a lot of words that have gotten added into the dictionary, I think we need to take that particular word and rewrite the definition. So
are we talking about the definition of retarded or retard?
Yes, absolutely. We need to change the definition, because it is not somebody who is special needs. Okay. And there is, if you are one of the people who have a hard time with hearing that word, I would highly recommend Christopher Titus, comedian Christopher Titus, is who I is so hilariously funny. I love this guy. He's so funny.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yes,
too, but go
he
on.
Does. He
go
does
on.
An entire bit about the word retard. And he goes, you know, he goes, I am not talking about special needs. He goes, by any means. He goes, these are the people who have access to a level of love that none of us could imagine. They are so, and when he says this, like my uncle was mentally retarded. Okay. He was the definition. He was Down syndrome. He was severely mentally retarded. I do not take any offense at all, because I don't think about when I say something like, oh my God, that's so retarded. Or you're such a retard. I don't think about that in the same kind of terms as, like, I'm not comparing them to my uncle or down, you know, like putting down my uncle in any way, shape or form. Because my uncle, when he was alive, at his funeral, I even said, a lot of people felt sorry for him. And I thought, why are you feeling sorry for him? This man lived his life in a way that most of us wish we could have lived without anybody judging him. And not, if they did judge him, he didn't care. He was completely and totally oblivious to what people thought of him or the way he acted or the way he looked. He didn't care. And that was something that was so amazingly freeing that I wish to God that I had that ability. But I never thought of that as a bad term. Like my stepson, who I absolutely love and adore, I love and adore him. He is what you would call he is mentally retarded, but I don't think of him as being a retarded. I don't think of him when I say retard. I think of those stupid fucking idiots that do something so insanely asininely stupid that you're like, that's retarded. That's absolutely. And so like Christopher Titus, how he said it, he goes, we all got one of them friends. We all know that person. They're the one 3 o'clock in the morning, drunk off their ass, would hang out their car window, go, hey, you cops, you bunch of fucking pussies. That's retarded.
Yeah. When I use that word, I'm not thinking about mentally challenged people or mentally disabled people. Those people are the furthest from my mind when I say that's retarded or this person is acting, you know, like a retard. Like, I'm not talking about those folks. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, whenever somebody comes up to me after a show, oh, you used the word retard. And I would be like, yeah, I know. Your point, exactly. You know what I mean? So I don't, and on top of that, these types of folks that people think that we're making fun of, which we're not, aren't at our shows. They don't show up. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of blows my mind for the most part whenever people try to censor what we can and cannot say on stage, or even like in the middle, even during conversation, you know. Oh, you said, like, we have like a like conversation police telling us what we can say and what we can't say. So I kind of find it kind of I find it very strange that people do that. I think what's his, Anthony this comedian. He has a very, very funny joke about retards. He's like, he does this joke about, I guess, someone retarded, and someone in the audience is like, hey, you can't use that word. I have a retarded son. And he's like, well, what are you doing here at a comedy show? You should be at home laughing at your kid, you know?
That's horribly wrong, and it's so funny.
But it's hilarious, though. It's such a great joke. To me, it's so funny because when I think of stuff like that, it makes me laugh. And it's like, sure, not a lot of people, not a lot of people are hip to it. You know, it's like, oh, that's a very terrible joke. Why would somebody laugh at that? And it's just like, well, because A, it's funny. I'm not 6 years old, first of all.
Right.
If you tell a funny joke, I'm gonna laugh at it. You know what I'm saying? Because again, I'm not five. I'm not a child.
Yeah, so, and I think that we're at a point where, as adults, we can go, there's a difference between using that word to make fun of somebody who is absolutely, who has all their faculties physically, and you go, no, that person is just missing some fucking brain cells.
Well, mind you, I'm actually... the joke that I was just talking about was from a comic, Anthony Jeselnik. His last name escaped me, excuse me, but he does these kind of jokes, and it's like, you know what? That's what I like about his style of comedy. He's not apologetic. He's just like, this is what works for me. And I've always said this, there is a market for his type of material.
Yep, there is.
There's a market. Hey, Anthony Jeselnik, random venue or whatever, tickets go on sale now, people will buy them. Knowing who he is, not giving a fuck. Because you want to know why? I find Anthony Jeselnik as an escape from reality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I could go purchase a ticket to a show knowing what I'm going to get from him. He could say the word retard a half dozen times. Not once would I be like, wow, he overdid it. You know what I'm saying? As long as he's funny and his jokes are funny, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick and tired of people telling me what's not funny and what they think is funny. No more of that.
You know, that's just it though, is that there's so many rules in society that we have to live by already. Don't try and tell me what I can and can't say. Stop. Just stop. You know, I understand. I'm going to equate this one to saying the N-word. You can be white and say the N-word, but there's consequences. Just keep that in mind.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to tell a comedian as a producer. I'm not going to tell a comedian what he can or cannot say. I just can't. You know what I'm saying? Because in my mind, you already know. You've been doing this long enough.
Right.
I'm never going to say, hey, you're not allowed to talk about this. Stay away from religion. And you can't talk about Jesus. Are we clear? Great. I'm not going to do that. You're going to, because as if I book a comedian, his job is to read the room, make good choices.
Absolutely.
Based on his material. I'm not going to sit there and babysit his act. That's not my job.
No, and the thing is, though, is as a comedian, you know, if you said something that you didn't read the room and it's not the room for that kind of a joke, you didn't test the waters first. And you'll know. Because they ain't going to laugh. They're all going to stare at you.
True that. Yep. Exactly. That's why I always say, look at the show. Watch. Look at the comments before you. Look at the host, even. They'll tell you what jokes will work and what jokes won't.
And you have to be able to speak your own truth. That's the one thing about comedy is you have to be able... The best comics out there will talk about things that... Like, a lot of comics will talk about a joke. They'll talk about themselves. They'll talk about the person who's up. But the greats are the ones that talk about shit that is real and it's painful and it's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been able to put a spin on it to make people laugh. And I think that that's what comics are, is we're the ones who... For us to be able to live our lives is that we have learned how to deal with our pain through humor. So,
and that's basically the definition right there, for the most part.
Yeah. We have had painful lives and stuff, but, you know, we were able to connect on that. That's one of the reasons why comics, we make great friends with each other, because we don't have to speak about the trauma that we've lived. We don't have to. We all know automatically when you meet a comic that they've lived through trauma.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know anybody who hasn't. So
I don't think I want to meet the comedian that has not lived through any kind of trauma.
I don't think there is any. You know, it's been a. So I want to talk to you about something that happened. So I don't know if I had a chance to tell you that back in March, I bought a new car. I know I mentioned that I got a Subaru Outback. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those times in my life. I was very excited. I actually had the night before picked out a really nice certified pre-owned Lexus.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful Lexus. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I'll be driving a Lexus, but I'll be dreaming of a Subaru. Because I'd wanted a Subaru Outback for a lot of years. And their safety rating, which people who know me know that I'm a safety professional, so the safest vehicle out there, definitely high on my list. So I walked onto the car lot back in March. End of February, beginning of March. And I was finally at a point in my life, it's taken me almost 54 years to get here, but I was able to be at a point where I said, you know what, I have the credit score, I had the finances. I said, don't show me anything but top of the line model. I want to look at the Forester, I want to look at the Outback, and I want to look at the Crosstrek, but I don't want anything but the top of the line model. And so I picked out my car. And it felt so good. As somebody who literally, like, Jamal, I'm not making this up. I lived as a child in a tent with a dirt floor. Okay? I lived in a tent. That's not the only time in my life I've lived in a tent. I've done that a couple of times. And so, me, I came from very, 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 very poor background. I mean, I think the most poor I've ever been was there was a time when my family, we had to, my sister, my brother, my mom and I, when we were living in Spokane, we went dumpster diving for aluminum cans so that we could get enough money to buy a package of hot dogs so we could eat. That's how dirt floor poor I was. Okay. So when I say that I was able to get to a point that I've worked my ass off to be able to go into a Subaru dealership or any dealership and say, I want to see nothing but the top of the line. It was the most incredible feeling in the world. And so I bought my car. I picked out my car. It wasn't there. They said it would take a couple of weeks. Okay, this is back in March. My car is going in for the fourth time this week for electrical issues. Okay. And I have been fighting with them. So last week they asked me, because I have videos of all the stuff that it's not doing or the things that it's supposed to be doing and that it's not doing. I have pictures, I have videos, I have a notebook of everything I've been taking, documenting. So I go into the dealership and Romeo met me there, and the head of the manager of the service department said, introduced me to their service technician, Nick, who is the best technician they have. He's their head technician. And Nick starts in on me about, I'm going to ask you the same kind of questions that Subaru asked me when I'm, what kind of phone do you have? And started asking me all these questions. He goes, okay, well, get into your car, start your car. So we get into the vehicle, and Romeo is standing outside the car, outside my door, talking to the service technician, or talking to the service manager. This technician, Nick, looks over, looks at him, looks at me. He goes, I take it that's with you. And I said, he's my husband. Romeo is my husband. And he went, And so then he started trying to explain, and he goes, he got frustrated with me. He goes, he gets out of my vehicle, walks over to the service manager and goes, I can't work with her. She's too argumentative. She's not getting what I'm saying, and walked away. Now, I don't want to think that this guy said that shit and was dismissive to me because of my husband. But Jamal, what are your thoughts?
I'm sorry?
What do you think?
Well, I think the statement that he made was very unprofessional. And that it almost sounded like it was unprofessional to a point of frustration.
Yeah.
That's what I gather from that, because, well, why? And when you say that, the only question that comes to mind, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but are you sure you heard right?
Oh, yeah. He said it just like that. I take it that's with you.
That's, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. There's nowhere in the professional world is that acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel bad that I didn't say anything. He walked away. He got out and walked away too fast. The service manager was standing there like, what the fuck just happened? So when I was talking, she goes, well, I said, he was very rude. He was very, and I was trying to talk to her. She goes, well, there's a reason we keep him in the back. Well,
oh, so they know he's the dick. Okay, that explains that.
Yeah. So I just think that if I'd have taken one or the other by themselves, I wouldn't be so leaning towards the fact that he said that. Like, I'm not stupid. I know that I've had people tell me point blank to my face that they think less of me because I'm married to a black man, which shocks me. It did. But it shocks me that still in 2023, people still think that way. But the way he addressed us, and then the way he found a reason to argue with me, and then not even try and talk to me, just get up and get out of my car, makes me lean towards it was more of he was already like he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to talk to me already.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I mean, Subarus are still good cars. That guy was just an asshole. That's just what
it is. It's not my car. It's not my Subaru. It's like I said, it's the fourth time it's gone into the shop, and I'm getting tired of taking it into the shop. I'm tired of dealing with a brand new car. The reason why you buy a new car is so you don't have to take your car to the shop. Right?
Right.
I'm tired of dealing with the freaking issues. Anyways, that's what's been going on in my life. I've been fighting with that. Got a new job. I'm no longer driving all 66 miles each way.
Oh, yay! Thank goodness.
12 miles each way.
Wait, how many miles?
12. Well, on the long way is 12. The short way is 9.
Okay.
So my commute is about anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes versus an hour and 15 each way. So yeah, so that's been going on. What else? Just family, dealing with family and, you know, love the ones you're with, love your family, be with them while you can, but. And then how about you, Jamal? What have you been going through lately?
Oh, well, during our wonderful hiatus, I've been, I too have been moving on to some greener pastures, in my opinion. And You know, it's just been kind of just quiet, which is weird. You know, it's like it's been quiet. I've been really enjoying my summer. Enjoying new opportunities that present themselves, as far as, you know, whether it's been my fan base or other things as far as comedy goes. But I've been kind of just taking it easy during the summer and focusing on trying to elevate myself, which I think is very important. I think, you know, between you, me, Justin is your boss, right? I can say that.
He's not really my boss. He is the boss of where I work. My boss. I mean, when you're a safety professional, they try and keep your boss not necessarily there. I mean, I respond to him, I listen to him, but okay. My boss is at the corporate level, because otherwise, if I pissed him off, he could fire me when it comes to something. And that would be a conflict of interest when it comes to safety.
Okay. Well, either way, when I see my friends, you know, elevating and stepping their game up, it has inspired me to do so as well. Justin's been here a couple of times and, I see that he's doing good. And then, you know, when he leaves, I end up questioning, well, am I happy with at where I'm at? And, you know, so I've been, you know, working on elevating myself.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy at the direction that I'm going. So I'm very, I mean, tomorrow I'll be even more happier. But it's a lot of good things are happening.
New job. When do you start the new job?
Tomorrow.
Fantastic. I'm so happy.
I start tomorrow. No more coffins, no more caskets.
Yay!
I don't even think that no more. It's definitely a familiar direction that I'm going to, but it's a direction that I am very familiar with. So I start tomorrow. I'm very excited. As a matter of fact, before I even started the podcast today, I was filling out online paperwork for, like, you know, how I want to get paid and all that other nonsense. So it's just like, it's good. I feel great. I can't wait to see how, you know, like 2 weeks from now, how things are going to be. But nonetheless, it took a while. I mean, it took a long while. But it only goes to show that you just can't quit. You can't stop.
Nope.
You know, one of my biggest problems with a lot of people, but I do not believe in complacency, you know, and I think that was one of the problems that I was having with myself. My last job was cool. My last job was actually pretty cool. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But, I did, you know, that you just have to move on. You know, if you see something that is better and it can get you to where you need to be, then by all means, do it.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with change, especially for the better. And that's kind of how I see this change being. It's for the better. It's not like I left with something that's disgustingly tacky. No. Like, I was doing interviews in at your home while I was visiting, and
on vacation.
While I was visiting Seattle in July, two for that matter, and then the face to face that we did this past when I got back. So it was great. I've never went into a job interview in my life where the first thing they were more, where they hit the hammer on the head, well, the nail on the head, excuse me, about happiness. If you're gonna work here, we want you to be happy. And in my head, I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, who opens with that at a job interview? Who? I've been to so many job interviews. Not one job interview face to face with my hiring manager here, the branch manager here, the sales manager here, and they're talking about happiness for the first 3 minutes. I'm like, you know, we want you to be happy. And it's like, okay, where do I sign up? You know, like, just, you know, where do I go from here? So.
But I think that that's true, though, because a lot of companies, they need to realize that we're not machines. We are here for a purpose. We're not here to make millions of dollars for you. We're here to make a living for ourselves and our families and have a mutually beneficial environment. And if you want to work us to death or put us in a situation where we're miserable, then no, we don't want to stay. You know, so it needs to be something where you're around people. That's why it's so important that manager, you can be amazing at what you do, but if you don't fit in with the rest of the team, it's not going to be a good environment for anybody.
Yeah. But I mean, even right now, tomorrow, I'm hyped. I'm excited because, again, new path, new everything. I can't wait to learn more, you know, and it's something that I feel that is something that I've been wanting for a while, you know. So,
I'm, you know, so happy.
Well, thank you. But if it wasn't for, again, you guys, you know what I'm saying? I don't think I would have been that much as motivated as I was like now. I just think that before it was like, okay, well, I'm happy where I'm at, and this is as good as it's gonna get. And I would have to wait another year before, you know, I could make the change that I want. I don't have to worry about that or do that now. You know, as far as this particular job, it's an improvement across the board from like everything. Uh-huh. And again, I say this without, I'm not taking anything away from my previous job, but if you look at everything, like checked box, this particular job, and I've talked to my supervisor a handful of times. I mean, when they say things like, we want you, based on the conversations they've had with my old bosses in Seattle, it was just like, oh yeah, they said a lot of great things about you. They even talked to my current employment. Well, I shouldn't say current, but my last employment. And they were just like, yeah, we want you. I mean, I think they interviewed like 22 people and I came out on top. So
that feels so good. It feels good that when you go, here's one of the things that I tell people all the time. You know, back in the day, you should pat yourself on the back for that. Because it took a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage to leave a sure thing and to venture off. And that's why a lot of people don't change jobs. But you know what? And the reality is that you say you're 41. I'm 50. I'm almost 54. I'll be 54 next month. And one of the things that our parents and our grandparents always taught us was that when you get a job, you stay with that job and you stay there forever and ever and ever, and they take care of you. Like I said, work is a relationship. It's like a marriage. You both have to put into it. And you know what? You put in what you're getting out. But it's not like back back when our grandparents and when our parents did that, they'd go and stay at a company for 20, 30 years, get a they would get like a pension and all this other stuff. They don't do that anymore. There's no such thing as that, but they also don't give you the raises. They don't give you, you know, like you're in a company. My sister was at the same company for 23 years. And I honest to God think that the amount of money difference that she made in 23 years was $6 different in 23 years. I want you to think about that. 23 years, $6 an hour more. That's it. That's not that much money. That's not even a dollar an hour or a year. That's like, what's the math on that? 23 years, $6. I gotta do math real quick. I haven't done the math on this before. Yeah. 6 divided by 23. 26 cents a year raise. 26 cents a year. So the cost of living alone is fucking way more than 26 cents a year, an hour. So if you're looking at 0.26 times $541 a year difference, $541 a year different. Look, we are not the same as our grandparents or even our parents. I tell this to younger people all the time. If you want to level up, if you want to continue making money, if you want to make more money doing the same fucking thing you're doing today, you change jobs every 2 to 3 years. About every 2 years. Because my sister, after 23 years of working at the same company, and they would tell her, oh, you're at the height. We can't give you any more money. We can't give you any more money. But you know what? They were damn sure hiring in people making the exact same money that she was making after 23 years. There is no loyalty anymore. There's no loyalty on either way. So you have to go, why am I working my ass off to put money in somebody else's pocket and I'm not getting a raise? Oh, well, the people here are really good people. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? They may be fantastic. However, so are people at other places. Don't be afraid to level up your game and to do better for you and your family by picking up your life and going, I'm ready to move somewhere else. Because you know what? Not only am I at the top of your pay scale here, I'm at the top of where you're going to put me, and I'm ready to move on.
Also, though, what should also be very important is you got to know where you're valued.
Yes.
You know, I think value is very important. I think there's some people out there that realize that their value is shit, and they're like, yeah, I want out. You know, so you definitely got to see where your value is, and then see if there's a way you could get more than what you're valued, then you'll be fine. But I also think that's just that should also be like another thing to look at, because I think that is going to put you. If you see that you're working your butt off and your value is very low, you know, then it's like, okay, what am I really doing here then?
Yeah.
You know, that should be a question that one should ask themselves. However, if you feel like, well, you know, I feel very valued here, I'm loved, this, that, whatever, then you're in a good position. And, you know, but, you know, there are a lot of dead-end jobs out there. And
valued, though. What do you consider valued?
Well, my thing is this. To answer your question, value is basically like, okay, if let's say at any given job, if let's say somebody doesn't show up to work in a different part of the warehouse or the job or whatever in a different department or something, you could slide in, fill in, and do that job. I think there's some value to it, to something like that, when you know more than just the position that you are at on a daily basis.
Okay, so that means that you have value to the employer, but how does an employer show you that they value you as an employee?
Well, I think at the end of the day, that's where your pay, your whatever salary you're making, if it equals to what you're doing, you would think that that would prove that they value you. But a lot of times that's not the case at all.
Right.
That's not the case at all. You could be overvalued and still be paid shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's just what I'm saying, though, is that I've seen people who they say they value you, but if...
Well, they say that just to keep you from looking, you know.
Exactly.
That's just what it is.
Here's where I'm saying that they don't truly value you. When they are hiring people in that make the same amount of money as you do after you've been there for 20 years. Yeah. And they hire people in that they don't know what their skills are. They hired them because they're still unknown, though, because they haven't tried them out yet. And they bring them in and they make the exact same amount of money you do. And they still have to train them how to do all the stuff at your place.
Yeah.
And then they're there for 90 days and get a raise. That is not a value. And this is what I'm saying, because for so long, employers have tried to hide that stuff. And now there's a transparency that they've enacted this. Department of Labor, I don't know if you know this, but Department of Labor has enacted this new law that says that when you advertise a job, you have to advertise how much you're going to pay for it. And the reason why is because that allows the people that are already working to doing that job to see if they are still at that same level or not. And the reason they do that is because, again, that glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they enacted that law, so that they can try and break through that glass ceiling, so that a woman gets paid to make the exact same amount of money that a man was doing the same job that they would hire a man for.
Yep.
So.
Oh yeah.
That,
and I've. Well.
So for us who, oh sorry, I was gonna say for us who said we weren't gonna go a full 2 hours.
Well, we're at an hour and 22 right now, I think. Oh yeah, hour and 22. Okay.
An hour and a half. No, I thought it was like an hour and 28. No, it says an hour and 20. Oh, anyways.
I got the recording. Yeah. I know we're gonna do a short. Yeah, I mean this is still good though because we were able to touch on a lot of stuff. Also, before we actually leave, let me make sure that okay, my lesson plan. Okay, so
what happens when you get two friends together, two longtime friends, and we just get a chance, we can talk about anything. That's one of the things that, you know, Jamal, you and I, we definitely can talk. I don't think there's anything, like I said earlier, there's no taboo subjects between us. We can talk about anything, and we're both very open about talking, and very, I like to call it, we're as transparent as cellophane.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you're going to expect from the upcoming recordings. And by the way, we will be coming back. Our next recording will be on September 5th. We're going to be doing our usual Tuesday night recordings. And then what we'll do is we'll get the episodes out the day after that or the morning.
I'm going to pump the brakes on that September 5th thing. Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Jamal, here's why. Hold on. Jamal, we could do it on the 4th or we can do it on the 6th. But I think that my husband... we might get a little bit butthurt if we record on our first anniversary.
So the 5th is still on.
I can hear him. He's sitting back here. I can just feel him tensing a little bit, going.
He's sharpening the knife right now.
Yes, he is. Your Honor, I've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle.
Oh, God. Okay, so we will not be recording on the 5th because, you know, we have anniversaries to think of, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. It's the first wedding anniversary. I mean, you know.
Booty.
Yeah, he's going to. Actually, though, Jamal, okay, we might be able to. Give me 5 minutes.
What?
I'll give him a quick blowy. He'll be happy. He'll be sated. And then we'll do. I'm kidding, babe.
Hey. I'm willing to see how far she's willing to let me do the 5th because, we could do the 6th or actually we could even do the 4th. I said let's do the 4th. So then after we talk about we could even talk about like, hey, you could give us single people some lessons on how to please your man on before you actually please them
on that anniversary. That is Labor Day weekend too, so that's Labor Day, which is fine.
You know what, I am actually in town, probably I'll be there from the 1st to the 4th, so
you're here, aren't you?
Yeah, because Susan Rice is going to be headlining. Yeah, she is, and yes, I should be there. Even though I don't think I'm going to do the show, but I'll just go there just to run it. Mm. But yeah, that's the plan. So hell, I might even be there. You know what? We'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But we're definitely going to be recording sometime in September, and again, things to you know, from here on out, we will be moving forward with the podcast. So that's right, fans. You could stop fasting. We will be back. And then we're going to have some great guests on the show and whatnot. But, you know, we did this little thing here just to kind of get re-familiar with ourselves. And I think we are. And, you know, I think that we're going to do fine between now and when we officially come back, which will be either before or the day after Marianne's 1 year anniversary to Romeo. That's right. You heard it, guys. So, yeah. But just so you know, yes, we are back. We will keep you posted. Usually at around this time, we do what we're binge watching. Honestly, I've been too busy enjoying the summer to really binge watch anything. But I'm pretty sure between now and whenever
I'm still watching Scandal. Oh, and we're almost done watching the Cleveland show, which, by the way, Netflix or Hulu, can you guys get with them and ask them to come back and bring back the Cleveland show? Let's do another season or 10. Because, by the way, if you haven't ever seen the Cleveland show, way funnier than The Family Guy.
That is a bold statement.
Oh, it's true, though. It is so funny.
That is a bold statement.
Also, Jamal.
You've seen the Cleveland show.
Yeah. No, I've seen why they canceled the Cleveland show and continued on with Family Guy.
They could have done both, and the Cleveland show is hilarious.
Yeah. No, it's funny to an extent, but I'm not saying Family Guy is very funny. I enjoy it. But the Cleveland show, I kind of felt that the Cleveland show just at some point it loses its luster to a point where it's like at some point. I mean, I find American Dad way funnier than the Cleveland show. And that's just the good old me. But yeah.
Okay. Look who I'm talking to. This is somebody who likes Bob's Burgers and American Dad. So
I love those shows.
I don't like either one of them.
Okay. Wow. Hey, look, if you want to get Todd back on the show, hey, there's other ways you can do it.
So, Jamal, what I was going to tell you was Invincible. They got Adam Eve is on right now, a spinoff.
from the show Invincible on Prime.
Did they already start season two? I thought that was not until October.
It starts November 3rd.
Okay, November 3rd. Okay, so.
But okay. Adam, she's the was the she was one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own show spinoff right now.
Oh, okay.
It just started up on Prime.
Okay.
It only had the one episode. I just watched it right before I came in here.
Oh, and I've been watching, speaking of that, I've been watching Praise PD on Hulu. Yeah, Praise PD on Hulu. The jury is still out on whether I like the show or not, but it gives me something to do while I'm doing sit-ups in my living room. So it's okay. I don't know what to make of the first season, but it progresses. It's a thing. It's something to ignore. So, yay! All right.
Okay. Well,
so, guys, that has been our show. Thank you for being a part of this 90-minute.
Welcome back to our.
Yeah, little hiatus kind of thing. And again, we will be coming back. This is going to be fun. This was great, actually. Too bad we can't do this every Sunday because I'd be doing this all the time, looking at my TV, then looking here, and then being like, what did you just say? So
I know, right?
So we
it's
definitely
kind of hard doing football season. We know. And that's one thing that you and I both agree on. It's football season. We have to allow for us to watch. How many fantasy football teams are you on, Jamal?
Two.
Okay. Yep. So we definitely have to allow.
Oh, for our fantasy speaking football. Of that, I think September 5th may not work, actually, come to think of it, because that's my fantasy draft day. So it's a special. Well, I mean.
No,
I'm talking about for September. I have a fantasy draft that day. So, yeah, I might be.
That Tuesday?
That Tuesday, yeah.
Well, I already. Okay, so it's not just me. You have your marriage thing to do. I have my marriage thing to do. Yours is married to football. Mine's married to my husband. So
married to the game, yo. Married
That's
to
right.
The game. All right. Okay, folks. That has been our show. We'll see y'all when we see y'all. And like Marianne always say, make good choices.
Yay.
Deuces.
And oh wait, and as Jamal always says. If anything that we said offended you and you didn't like it, remember, it's not about you.
Well, it's been that long that I forgot my own closing. Yeah. All right, guys. Later.